scripture that I want to start the new year off with is an Epiphany scripture. It's the, you know, Epiphany means revelation. It means manifestation. And there are various scriptures about Christ's manifestation to the world. And that's what Epiphany season is about. And one of these manifestations is when he was presented. He was manifested in the temple. His first public appearance. And this was the passage, Luke 2, 25 through 27. And it's about someone else also that is presenting himself in the temple. When Jesus was brought and presented in the temple, this person named Simeon, who was a senior citizen, and he is going to teach us, or this passage that I'm going to read, is going to teach us how to go to church. How did Simeon go to church? And how should we go to church? That's the title of this message. And so let me just read this scripture. It is Luke, and it's only a couple verses, actually. Luke 2, 25 through 27, the first part. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. And that's how he went to church. And that day, he saw Jesus. And I won't read the whole passage. But E. Stanley Jones wrote this about this text. He says, "We cannot grow unless we fellowship with other questing lives. Hence the church. How can we get the most out of that corporate fellowship? Simeon came into the temple and saw the Lord's Christ. How did it happen? He brought something to that hour, and seeing the Lord's Christ was the result of what he brought." Basically, Simeon shows us that people see Jesus when they make it a habit to watch for him. Now, Simeon was watching for Jesus because he had been revealed. It had been revealed that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ, before he had seen the Messiah. But first of all, let's look at what kind of a man Simeon was. He was a person who was right in about four ways, and probably a lot of other ways too, but he was right with others. The word righteous here means that he behaved and he thought the right way. He behaved and thought the right way. And he was righteous in that sense. We can also think about our righteousness not coming from ourselves. I'm going to turn this down a little bit. But also coming from the Lord. He enables us to do these things. And also he gives us the righteousness of Christ as an inbuilt thing, so that we can live out that righteousness. But he was also right with God. It says he was devout. This word is used about three times in the New Testament. And what it means is, in a literal way, it's taking in hand well. Taking in hand well. And that's a funny term for the word devout. But what it means is, it means taking care to deal with the reality of God's presence and God's goals. To deal well. To take in hand well the reality of God's goals. How do we deal with God's presence in our lives? How do we deal with God's word given to us? His will given to us? If we are devout, then we will take it seriously. We'll take care. He was right toward the nation. He was a patriotic person in a sense. It says, waiting for the consolation of Israel. You know, good Christians are, or they should be at least, good citizens, but they should be more than just good citizens. That's what Simeon was. And he was a good citizen of Israel. And he was waiting for the consolation that came from God for Israel. And that's how we should be. People that are Christians, who are good Christians, and are more than good citizens, will know that politics, no matter what governor you elect, no matter what president you elect, politics are not the answer to solve the solutions to the world's problems or the country's problems. And that's the first point that, that good citizens, really more than good citizens, realize that we can't do it through politics. And they also have an expectation. They are ready to expect. This word waiting means to expect and to accept. In other words, it's like someone who has a guest who is coming, and you've got everything ready inside the house, but you're out on the porch ready to receive the guest, and you're looking for the guest. You're watching the cars go by, wondering when the promised visit will arrive of your guest. That's what this word waiting means. It means looking for, but at the same time you're ready to receive. And again and again and again in the New Testament, this word is used for those who were looking for the kingdom of God, those who were looking for the salvation that was to come. He is also right with himself. Right with himself. And in that sense, the Holy Spirit was upon him. The Holy Spirit was upon him. And now, how is that? Well, there was a Scots clergyman, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing how he would have said this, but he said, "Keep your conduct abreast of your conscience, and very soon, right, very soon, your conscience will be illuminated by the radiance of God." It's a beautiful statement, but it's true. It's true. God has given us a conscience, and it's a charge to keep. To keep pure, to keep a holy conscience, to keep a clear conscience. And when we have that clear conscience, and we have kept our behavior abreast, as it says, of our conscience, then very soon our conscience will be illumined by the radiance of God. And how does that happen? It comes by the Holy Spirit coming upon us. So the Holy Spirit was upon him. And, you know, what was this waiting about, that he was waiting for the consolation of Israel with the Holy Spirit upon him, with his righteous life and his devout attitude towards God? He was waiting for the consolation of Israel because he had an anticipation that God is going to intervene. God is a God who will intervene. And as we look at this new year, and as we look at how to go to church in the new year, how is God going to intervene in our lives? Are we keeping our lives righteous in our behavior and our thinking? Are we keeping our lives dedicated to God? Are we good citizens, hoping beyond what the normal citizen, good citizen, hopes for, hoping for God's intervention? And do we have a clear conscience to have the Holy Spirit resting upon our lives? This kind of consolation that was being waited upon by, and it was something that motivated his life. I don't know when God told him this. Maybe God told him when he was very young. And maybe he carried this all of his life. An unfulfilled promise. You will see that which will begin the consolation of Israel. Because, you see, he was supposed to see the Messiah who would bring that consolation. And what was that consolation? It's very, very clearly spelled out in back in Isaiah 40. A little scripture there, a couple of verses. It says, "Comfort, comfort," or "consolation, consolation, my people," says your God. "Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling, 'In the desert prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, and every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged place a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind will see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken.'" Simeon was waiting patiently into his senior years for this unfulfilled promise. And he had carried this in his heart. He would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Now, God may have revealed some things to you that you have not yet seen fulfilled. Maybe back in your younger years when you had your children and or they were being raised up or what, and you had some promises and you haven't seen those things fulfilled. You know, Rosemary and I, at least Rosemary had this. One day she was reading in Scripture as she was taking care of the children or having her devotional time. And she read this verse and she felt the Lord said, "This is about your children." Isaiah 54:13. "All your sons will be taught by the Lord, and great will be your children's peace." You know, we cannot see that happening in the lives of some of our older children yet. We have not seen the promise fulfilled. But we're carrying it in our hearts. And we need to be like Simeon. We need to carry that promise in our hearts. Because if we will carry that promise in our hearts, and that we go to church that way, we're going to see Jesus. And it's really important that we do that, that we carry these things in our hearts. Jesus gave us a promise. He said, "Where two or three come together in my name, there I am with them." That's a promise. That's a promise that we need to come to church with. Simeon came to church filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what it says. He came to church and the Spirit of God was upon him. You know, we bring a lot of things to church. There's a lot of reasons that people come to church. Some people come to show up. It has been a habit in their life to come to church, and they want to be there because they know they need to go to church. And so they show up, and they get what they get what they have come for. They get their name registered, or they get recorded. Their attendance is there, okay? There are some people who come to get help. They come to get help for their spiritual needs, and sometimes they leave with a lot of advice from me, from the pulpit. But they maybe have not had the knowledge or the way or the willpower or what to make those things apply to their lives. That's very discouraging to me sometimes, knowing that the Word of God is proclaimed, but maybe it's not making its effect, and maybe it's not giving the help that it needs. There's another reason why. You know, some people come to please their friends. They said, "Oh, I haven't been invited by my neighbor, and I'm coming." Mm-hmm. And, you know, they maybe made their friends happy. That's what they did. They came to church, and they got that. They made their friends happy. Well, we would be happy if they continued to come. But Simeon came, moved by the Spirit. That was his motive of coming. And that was how he went to church. That's how he was a churchgoer that was moved by the Spirit. And people who are like Simeon, moved by the Spirit, when they come to church, will not leave without seeing Jesus. And it is that will make the showing up worthwhile, will make the help that's given there really happen, will not just make their friends happy, but will make them happy because they've been to a place where they've seen Jesus. The anticipation of seeing Christ is the great expectation that transforms church going into Christian growing. You know, you can be a church goer, but not a Christian grower. You know, you come and it's the same as you left the last week. You haven't really grown. But when you come expecting to see Jesus, and you see the Lord, the Lord's Christ, the Messiah, the one that brings this hope, this salvation, then we can leave and we'll be changed, we'll be transformed. Now we can do this, we can see it in the singing. You know, Peter's singing was just so great. And we do it not so much singing about him as singing to him. There are some songs where we can actually "Be thou my vision," sing to him and say, "Lord, I want to see you. Open my eyes. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus. We want to see him," because it's so important. You can see Jesus in your brothers and sisters. You know, I've over and over again said this. You've just got to not be shy, but you sometimes have to speak up and share what the Lord has shown you during the week. When you do that, you give the opportunity for people to see Jesus in you. Because you see, Jesus lives in you. And he wants to speak up. And there are some things that you need to share with your brothers and sisters. Maybe they're just your heart's concern. Maybe they are a blessing that others need to hear about, or a scripture that would encourage their hearts. You can see it in the sermon. You can see Jesus in the sermon. Now, and I'm not going to say this just because I want you to see Jesus in me, because I want to be in the hot spot here. No, because I want you to all to share. But you can especially see it when someone gets up to preach a sermon. And you need to discipline yourself to say these words in your hearts, no matter how poor the preacher is, or how bad he is, or if he's got a coughing spell and he can't get the sermon out, because that's what I almost feel like I've got right now.
Mm-hmm.
You say these words: blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. You say that in your heart. And I'll tell you why you say that, because Jesus has a promise. He says, I say to you, from now on, you shall not see me until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. When someone comes to you in the name of the Lord, and in your heart you say, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord, what does Jesus promise you? You will see Jesus. I don't know how many times I have sat under a sermon that I look like, oh, it's not going to be a good one. I might as well, you know, try to read something else. It's not going to be a good one. But when I have said, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord, I have begun to be transformed by Jesus. I have seen Jesus in that preacher, whether it's a man or a woman, whether it's just a young kid getting up to share his testimony about his mission trip. I have seen Jesus. I have seen Jesus. People see Jesus when they make it a habit to watch for him. It's not really about coming to church. That's how we should go to church, but it's not really just about coming to church. It's a habitual habit we need all the time in our lives, in our personal inner temple of our hearts, wherever we are, to really expect him, to really see Jesus. It's that expectation that we need to carry around with us. And if we do that, then that's how we need to go to church, but that's how we need to face this new year. As we go through this new year, smile, God loves you. And as the love that's in you, and you smile that out to others, they're going to get to see Jesus. They're going to get to see Jesus. How to go to church? Well, make it a habit to watch for him. Not just about going to church. Make it a habit to watch for him all the time.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father God, thank you for the prospects of the new year. Thank you, Lord, for the promises that you have given us, that you will be with us all the way through it, no matter what we face, no matter what we go through. Your presence will go before us and be with us, and be behind us as a protective shield. Lord, you will surround us and protect us by your Holy Spirit. Thank you so much. And we just ask, Lord, that you would help us to see you every day. In Jesus' name, amen.